Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we are previewing the 2025 Sony Open out of the Wylie Country Club, a full 144 golfers, first cut of the year type fun. So we'll talk about that and much, much more to get your DraftKings lineups ready. First off, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf. Guys, Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing better than you probably are right now.
Yeah, it's cold, man. Yes. It's cold.
Yeah, poor bastard. any thoughts on a 35 under winning a golf tournament?
Yeah, that was pretty impressive by Hideki. I don't think either one of us caught much of it because I was planning on watching some of it on Sunday, but when I saw that Hideki kind of started running away, made eagle on like three or whatever, hauling out from the fairway, you know, just couldn't. Morikawa had no chance to catch him. But yeah, 35 under is the, I believe, 4-day record, correct?
Yes.
For the PGA Tour.
Yep.
So yeah, it's an easy place, but that's still a pretty awesome thing to do.
You still got to play your butt off to get there, right? But it's crazy watching all these scores, and each year it's gotten bigger and bigger. When we watch, you recapped last week the recent history of 25 under, 20s, whatever.
Yeah.
35 is nuts. Like, even more, Kyle would say, like, he shot like 31, I think, 31 or 32.
And 32.
He said 35 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I had Morikawa, so I was like, okay, sweet. So I went and checked the app on Sunday. And like you said, Matsuyama was stretching out his lead. I'm like, right. Yeah, I'm good. I don't need to tune in today. I'll go do something else. And it sucked because I had a lot of Morikawa last week. Didn't have any Hideki. He was less than 5% rostered, which says everything you need to know about. He wasn't very popular last week. So there's the old story we talked about, you know, being contrarian actually paid off in a big way with the Hideki.
Sure did. I mean, that's tough in that small of a field in a no-cut event, man. I mean, like, to get that low-owned guy wins it especially.
Yep. No dupage for the most part in that regard. Any other thoughts on the event? JT struggled, but then goes 10 under on Sunday to make at least his week look respectable. Xander really never got going, which many people thought he would. Just a mixed bag, I guess one would say. And overall, like, you know, it's a no-cut event, but the big names aren't as many near the top as you'd hope for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Hideki and Colin are
two of
the bigger ones, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Oberg was up there. Dietrich, we talked about him a little bit last week. Corey Connors, Vegas. Yeah, otherwise, they're not. I mean, of course, you don't have any Rory in the field and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, not a whole lot else to say. It was a hit and giggle, as some would like to say. We'll see what they do. They're already talking about making one of the par fives into a par four, which makes it a par 72. And someone made a joke, I think, that they'll still shoot 29 to 31 under par anyways, type of thing. So we'll see where that goes. But not a whole lot you can do to that course. If it's not windy, it's not doing much of anything.
Correct.
So we stay in Hawaii, I should say, this week for the Sony Open. Mentioned at the start, 144 golfers. It is actually a cut event, T65 and ties. So we got that going for us, Jesse. A lot of history here. So what do you got for the Sony Open?
Yeah, been played at Wailea Country Club for a long time. Last year, Grayson Murray shot 17 under and won in a playoff over Ben Ahn and Keegan Bradley. Rest in peace, Grayson Murray, by the way.
Yep.
Siwoo Kim won 2023, 18 under one shot over Hayden Buckley. Hideki Matsuyama was 23 under playoff over Russell Henley. Kevin Na, 2021 champion, 21 under one shot over Chris Kirk and Joaquin Neiman. Cam Smith won in 2020, 11 under playoff over Brendan Steele. The one that I really remember was Justin Thomas, 2017. Kuchar won it. Patton Kizzire won this tournament. But 2017, Justin Thomas won the tournament champions, which was then like 30 people and was all tournament champions, and then went over to the to Honolulu and won this tournament as well. But yeah, 27 under, that was Justin Thomas's win, and that is the 4-day record. He won by 7 shots that week.
Yep, he dominated that week, that is for sure. And you mentioned Wiley Country Club. It's been played here many years, as you said. It's a par 70, about 7,050 yards, give or take. They've done a lot of renovating of the greens recently, the complexes. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But as a whole, it's actually a quasi-challenging golf course. Hitting the fairways is very important. You have tons of dog legs. You have trees you have to hit over. So it's one of those quote-unquote placement golf courses. It's a shorter course, so obviously you don't have to be a bomber by any means, but you want to find the fairway. And it's still just a wedge or a short iron in on most of them. Now, the key is if it gets windy, and right now it appears like we might be getting consistent wind this week. Time will tell. It's Monday afternoon. That could definitely change. But, you know, 12 par fours, 4 par threes, only 2 par fives as well. So you got to take advantage of the par fives, as always. But the key is finding fairways, because the rough's usually around 3 inches. Bermuda rough, and that'll be very penal, especially if it's windy. You're trying to control your golf ball out of a 3-inch rough, very difficult in the wind. So you'll have to see how that takes you know, affects some of these guys as well. But and the greens can play firm and kind of fast, considering the you know, most courses in the wind don't play that fast. So they're 11 and a half on the stem to 12 depending on the season, but not too bad there. Mentioned Bermuda. It's Bermuda pretty much end to end of that golf course. Bunkers, 83 bunkers on the course. Water comes into play on 5 holes. But in the end, you need to find the fairways. And then obviously you want to get hot with the putter, but finding the fairways pretty much save your pars. If it's windy, that's going to be plenty to keep you in contention. So what do you like for some stats this week talking about Wiley?
Yeah, I mean, accuracy off the tee matters. I think scrambling matters some as well. Birdie or better percentage, because, you know, the scores are going to be in the high teens to 20s. Par 5 scoring, I think you can wait. And then there's plenty of course history to wait as well.
Yep. Very, very popular course history course, because it's been here many, many years, as we talked about. So something to keep in mind indeed. All right. I have not been aware or told that there has been any withdrawals yet, so we got that going compared to last week. So let's have some fun here. 144 golfers, T65 and ties, DraftKings, 2 golfers over $10,000. Holy crap. Hideki Matsuyama at 11,000, just won last week, of course, and Corey Connors at 10-2. How do you like to approach the top tier?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you do, though, besides
skip it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, as far as the pricing goes, like, maybe, I don't know. Like, I don't know what else you do. Hideki's clearly the guy. Coming off a win, has played here a bunch, played here as recent as, you know, last year, finished 30th, 48th year before that, won here in 2022. Did I mention that? Did I say that? Yeah, 2022, sure, winner. Yeah. Just want to make sure everything lines up there. I don't remember saying that because I just kind of black out when I start talking. But, I mean, Hideki's the guy, right? Hard not to play him. And I do think that it is semi-doable. It's going to take some reaching for some here, but I think Corey Connors is fine as well. He's never missed a cut here in 5 tries, finished 57th last year, 12th year before that, 11th year before that. So he's had some high finishes, but I think it's just clearly Hideki, who's been playing very well in general to begin with. He had a win, you know, back in August at the St. Jude. So, you know, and we you just know when Hideki gets hot, like, he could shoot 30 under this week, and it would not surprise me one bit.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time with Hideki. It's like he might withdraw with a back injury out of nowhere. That's what he does. Or he could light the course on fire. And that's usually what keeps his ownership low, which is a plus. And coming off a loss, we'll see how that plays out in this field, because you mentioned we only have 2 guys over 10K. So Hideki's great, because one thing I think I probably forgot to mention in the course preview, 8 of the 12 par fours are like between 360 and 460, so they're not long par fours. So, like, on this on Fantasy National, I have par fours 4 to 450. Hideki's first in the field in those scoring. He's 5th in opportunities gained. He's really striking it well, and that he's 5th in my model. His biggest downplay stats wise, from what I'm looking at, is fairways gained, which is important. But he's not great in this field in that. But yeah, if you want to go with Hideki, can't blame you. Connors has his upside. To me, it's like, though, if you're going to play Connors, just save some money and go down below here.
But yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with that.
Like, I like Connors. Maybe that'll get you low ownership Connors. So if you're making a 20 max, have like 3 or 4 or something. But it's hard to go heavy on Connors when you could go 800 more to Hideki or just drop down into the 9K range. a 9K range that has eight golfers in it. And I'm, you probably could have snuck a couple guys higher if you wanted to, but it's tricky, as you mentioned. You got Russell Henley at 99, Tom Kim at 98, Keegan Bradley at 95, Benny On at 94, Bobby Mack at 93. And originally, I thought Bobby Mack was going to be playing in the Euro Tour this week. Apparently not, at least as of now. Matt McNeely, 92, Sahith, 91, and Siwoo Kim at 9,000. Siwoo's won here before as well. I just want to ask you real quick before you give us your thoughts on this range. Did you see Benny On's tweets yesterday?
I didn't. No, just the only thing I saw was he didn't get his air tag in there.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. It was pretty funny. So I don't know when he got his clubs. I'm imagining he did. And the bright side is he's right next to – they're on the islands, so it shouldn't be too hard to get his golf clubs. But I found that entertaining. So what do you like in the 9K range?
Yeah, sorry about my camera there. If you're watching on YouTube, I apologize. I don't know what is going on with it, but we're just going to turn it off for the moment. Russell Henley at 9,900 would be definitely playable. Fourth here last year. Has had four straight made cuts, a second place in 2022 at the Sony Open. And it's coming off you know, middle of the pack finish last week, but fourth at the Tour Championship, which was his last time out before playing in Maui. Keegan at 95 finished second here last year. You know, when you said, like, I would rather kind of go down, save the money on Corey Connors, like, Keegan was the first guy that came to mind to me. Like, I feel like they're almost the same golfer, right? Like,
yep.
Keegan probably a little bit of a better putter, but ball striking wise, like, to me, they're just kind of in the same neighborhood as far as they can get real hot with the wedges. And Keegan, we know about his putting sometimes, but been on 9,400, finished second here last year, and is coming off a 32nd last week, but did win back in October. Matt McNeely at 9,200, three straight made cuts for him at this event, finished seventh here in 23, which was his best finish, 57th last year, but two straight top tens for him, including last week at the over in Maui. So a win and then an eighth place finish. So he's pretty hot coming in. And Siwoo's got good course history as well. He won here 2 years ago, four straight made cuts for him at this event, and middle of the pack for him last week. But that was really off a bad start, 76 in round one, which is awful.
Yes.
At that golf course, three over par. So he obviously figured it out and shot under the par the rest of the days, but just had a terrible start. So people may see that and not really know how it wasn't as bad as what it was, as far as what I'm trying to say. So,
yeah, it's one of those golf courses. If you're not like at least 500 or 600 on average every day, you're pretty much already out the window. Yeah, because 500 every day is still 20 under. You're not even close to sniffing the podium. So, yes, a 76, three over par. See ya. That's just the way that's going to go.
Yeah, you got no chance. You might as well just pack it in. I mean, you're going to cash, but...
Yeah, everyone cashes, well, thank God.
Right. But,
yeah, no, you're pretty much not winning the darn thing, so work on your swing for the following week is what that comes down to. Enjoy the Mai Tais. All right, for me in this range, I like Henley. He's eighth in my model. Kept saying fairways are very important here. Obviously, he's first in fairways gained and eighth in good drives over the last 24 rounds. And again, said it last week, last 24 rounds is kind of loose because of who played in the late part of the season and whatnot, but just know Henley's very good at that. We always know he's a good approach player as well. He's like fifth from 150 to 175, seventh from 125 to 150. So if you want a shorter iron player, very good there as well. So like Russell Henley a lot, love Keegs. You mentioned it. He's going with the stash because he's feeling it out there. He's tweeting about that he's playing well, so he can't cut it. He's superstitious. That's what athletes are. So I like Keegan. I like Benny On. Great history here. His overall stats don't look great looking at him on the model here, but second here last year, 12th the year before, finished 32nd last week. You know, he was playing really well last year, so I have no problem with some Benny On either. I'd have Henley and Keegan ahead of him, but I do like some Benny On. And then I echo your Siwoo just because of the history here, but Matt McNeely at 9,200 bucks. This is a guy that finished the year pretty darn strong. First at the RSM, 17th at Bermuda, 6th at the WWT, withdrew at the Zozo, 16th at Shriner, so played great there. Finished 8th last week, which is a plus as well. And when you talk about history here, 57th, 7th, and 27th. So Mav's another guy. It's like, as much as I want to play Hideki this week, I'll have a couple shares, but it's going to be very tricky with this 9K range. Like Henley, Keegan, Mav is very, very two out of those three to start a lineup feels pretty good to make, at least for me. So that's where I'll probably be going these days. 8K range, another decent sized range here. It starts with JT Poston at 89, Pendrith 88, Eckroat 87, Kitayama 86, Davis Thompson 85, Luke Clanton, who will be talked about everywhere apparently. Listen to two podcasts today. He's center of attention, folks, at 8,400 bucks. Brian Harmon at 83, Ben Griffin 82, Harry Hall at 81, and Sepp Strzok at 8,000. And I'll say this much, Clanton's first in my model, so I get it.
He's first in mine, too.
Yeah, he's first in mine. He's an amateur, too, by the way. So can't even one and done him if you like him that much. So who do you like this week?
Start with Eckroat at 87 there. Two straight made cuts for him at this event. 42nd and 31st in the last 2 years. And had a win back in the fall. Played the Century, finished 15th, 17th at RSM. So playing in or coming in very good form. Davis Thompson at 8,500, two out of two made cuts. He played most or a couple of the fall events there, played last week. So I think he's fine. Yeah, Luke Clanton, I mean, I don't know. Well, I'm assuming it's just really has to do with how well he played at the RSM. I mean, he hit it very well. His accuracy off the tee was good. Hit a bunch of greens, putted it well. 8 under on par fours, which – you said this is a par 70, correct?
Par 70, yeah, 7,050 yards.
Yeah, so you don't have as many opportunities on the par fives like most golf courses, so par four scoring does matter. But Ben Griffin, 8,200, two out of two made cuts, 30th and 12th in his last two starts here, 15th in his last start at the RSM Classic. And then Harry Hall, great showing last week for him. He finished 8th. You know, he shot 70. You're going to get lapped shooting 70.
Yep.
But still, you know, he was in position there and then ended up finishing 8th. And two out of two made cuts at this golf course. So I do like Harriet Hall quite a bit.
For me, like, I wanted to play JT Poston just because of his history here, 8th, 21st, 42nd the last 2 years. Finished 5th last or at the RSM Classic. That's nice. 40th at Century, first at Shriner. So a false swing was good for JT. He rates out horribly in my model compared to other golfers. He's 61st, but I'm keeping him on the radar potentially as a low. I want to play at 89. Pendrith, I'll keep playing. Fairways gained is not his asset, but again, that may be with the driver. Maybe the shorter iron are good because he's still 18th in my model. He's par fours, 4 to 450. He's third. So those are non-driver holes. So obviously he can play those pretty well. That's probably why it rates out well at this event. So Pendrith at 88 would be a dude as well. You mentioned Eckroat at 87, fan of that. Clanton, 84, he's first in my model, as we talked about. So, yeah, my God, he's first in opportunities gained, fourth in fairways, first in greens and regs, first in DK scoring over the last 24 hours. Pretty wild stuff. Brian Harmon's a tricky one for me. He's 8,300 bucks, doesn't rate out great in my model. But it's a big course history course. He's made at least 5 straight cuts here. Best finish is 18th, though. Is that enough for what you want here? Finished 58th last week, 25th at the RSM. He's not clicking on all cylinders, but another guy that's played well here could maybe find some sea legs and make it happen.
He has made 6 out of 7 and finished 4th in 2018. So
okay, so there might be something there. Like, this is a massive course history place, and Harmon is a guy that is pretty good at finding fairways. That's something he does. Like, he's 2nd in this field in fairways gained. So that is something to potentially keep in mind with Brian Harmon. Love Ben Griffin. Love Harry Hall. I believe you mentioned both of them. So I'm on board there. Griffin 16th in my model. Harry Hall's 32nd. Griffin, really good driver of the golf ball. He's 7th in good drives. Harry Hall, not so much. He's the opposite of that. But he's coming in great form, as you mentioned. Just kind of fell apart on the end on Sunday, but could be a guy to maybe ride the hot hand with as well. So a fun 8K range where you can really start to differentiate, I think, and still get some high upside golfers. 7K range, you got Billy Ho at 79, Cam Davis at 79, Mac Hughes and Chris Kirk at 78, Harris English and Tom Hoagie at 77, McCarthy and McCarty at 76, Berger, Cole, Dietrich at 75. Who are you liking here?
Cam Davis at 7,900. He's made 5 straight cuts at this event. His best finish was 9th in 2020, but 30th and 31st in the last 2 years. Here, coming off a 13th place finish last week. Finished 5th at the BMW back in August, so he's been playing some pretty solid golf. Harris English at 7,700. He hasn't missed a cut here since 2017. It blows my mind that more pro golfers don't go spend 2 weeks in Hawaii. I mean,
why would you not? I would write it all off and everything, man.
Right. Like, why would you not go spend 2 weeks in Hawaii and then just skip the Amex?
Yes.
Unless you have a deal with Amex, but
pretty
whatever.
Much, yeah.
English 10th here last year. And it, you know, is the last two it starts or last start for him wasn't great, 60th, but 14th, 9th, 6th in the three previous starts, and he played a bunch of fall events. Berger at 7,500. He hasn't played here since 21, coming off the injury, but finished 7th in his last start here. And he hasn't missed a cut since 2015. So that's 6 straight for him at this event. And 2nd place finish his last time out, the RSM. So he seems to be trending in the right direction. And then Dietrich, talked about him last week. He finished 5th. He's just one of those guys that's been playing a lot more than some other guys because of more opportunities on the DP World Tour, Euro Tour, or whatever you want to call it. So he's never played here, but I would go back to him this week.
Yeah, you were all over Dietrich last week, so that was very strong. Cam Davis, don't mind him. We always talk about it. You look at his initial stats, doesn't look like he's great off the tee. Shorter golf course, though. You could maybe make some magic happen. Billy Ho has won $7,900. That is, I don't know why he's interesting to me, but it feels like a course like this, like 18th last year, missed cut 36-7. So 3 of the last 4 years, 18th or better in 2 of those 3 cuts, which is good, obviously. And then if you go deeper, he finished 51st last week. He took most of the – he was in Europe for the fall swing. So I think Billy Ho could be one to keep an eye on at $7,900. Chris Kirk, he's either done really well here or kind of fumbles, but a good fairway finder. He has, like, the right setup to succeed here if he could just be consistent for the week. So a tournament playing Chris Kirk. Love Harris English. I'm with you on that. At $7,700, big fan there. Denny McCarthy at 76 is another guy that's just coming in with some decent history here. He's made 3 straight cuts, 24th, 32nd, 48th. If it does, if the wind makes it a little lower scoring and putting becomes even more valuable, maybe a guy like McCarthy stands out a bit more. And then I like Daniel Berger with you as well. We talked about him pretty much every fall swing show, Jesse, that we did. That's like, he's going to find it. He's going to find it. He kept getting better as the fall swing went on. And it, to me, it shows he's 11th in my model. And his are like the fall swing rounds, unlike some of these other guys. He played almost every event. So that stands out to me in a big way. So I don't mind some Daniel Berger at 75 as well. Keep riding that train, because to me, it's too cheap once it starts clicking. It feels like it's real close to start clicking. 7K to 74, we are starting to get into a bigger range, Jesse. So who do you like here?
Yeah, Putnam at 7,400. 3 straight made cuts for him. Two consecutive top 10s, 10th and 4th in his last 2 years at this event. Does have a 2nd place finish back in 2019. He is coming off of 2 consecutive missed cuts, but the course history is what would drive me to play him at 74. Lucas Glover at 73. This is kind of the opposite of that, because mm-hmm. he's miscut, 5th, 50th, miscut in his last 6 starts at this course, but has made 6 in a row on tour, a couple of top 5s included in there, so I think Glover's interesting. Nacho at 7,300 here, Echeverria, 12th in his last start at this, or Nicholas, not Nacho.
I was like, wait a minute. I like the idea of it.
You don't know where I got Nacho from. 12th here, 2023. Svensson at 7,200. 4 straight made cuts for him at this course. 30th, 41st, 7th, and 43rd. 3 straight made cuts for him on tour. Rio at 7,100. 30th here in his 1 start last year, and 18th in his last start, which it's been a long time. I'm assuming he's coming off injury.
I would imagine. So I feel like he played overseas too.
Might have been playing something else then. I don't know. But the last PGA Tour start I have for him is the Puerto Rico Open in March.
Yeah, that was a long time off for a guy who was playing pretty much every week.
Yeah. So maybe dive a little bit more into that if you're going to play him. As far as if he comes off injury, I would not play him. But Mac Messiner, 7,100, never played here, but 3 straight top 40s on tour. Obviously, a lot of these are kind of fall swing events, but they're similar fields to what we got going on this week. It's not like this is a world beater of a field. So, yeah, that's where I'm at there, below 7,500.
Yeah, Seamus Power at 74. He's 13th in my model. Coming to this event 74th last year, third in 2022. Some okay history there when it comes to Sheamus, Power, and then you just look at current form. Withdrew from the RSM 23rd, 13th in his previous two events at Bermuda and Zozo. But what I really like about Sheamus is he's third in fairway gained. He's fifth in DK scoring. So he has a chance to potentially make some noise here. I like Putnam, the history here. He's 22nd in my model. Michael Thorbenson, he's 31st in my model. Another guy that I don't mind looking at here. He's never played this event as he's a youngster, but he finished 8th at the RSM Classic. We saw some other good finishes earlier in the fall swing, so he'd be a guy to keep in mind. Novak has good history here. He's 35th in my model. You mentioned Glover. He's 3rd in my model, so his form's good. He hasn't played well here, but finished the fall swing good at $7,300. I have a lot of guys like in the 40th or better, which is not bad for this range. Michael Kim, Twitter's darling, $7,300. He's 36th in my model. I had to like triple check why. He actually had a good fall swing. 11th at the RSM, 12th at Bermuda, 30th at WWT, 5th at the Shriners. So playing some good golf to finish out the year. So you can ride the Kim train if you want. You have Echeverria, who I have as well. Kuchar at 72, he's 9th in my model. He played really well to finish the season also. Svensson's played well here. Fishburne's coming in hot. There's a ton of dudes. I'm not going to name everybody. People are going to get pissed off eventually. But I'm going to mix and match a lot down here. I'm going to do a 20 max this week. But these are some of the guys like Fishburne. Hopefully he gets a little overlooked. Highsmith coming in very well. I even had Ryu checked off probably for why you did. I guess the last guy I'll mention, so again, I don't mention everybody, is Nick Taylor. He's 74th in my model. But what I want to highlight here with Nick Taylor that stood out to me is where'd you go, buddy? I just saw you here. There he is. He's finished 7th and 7th the last 2 years, 11th in 2021, 32nd in 2020. So he's played extremely well at this golf tournament. 48th last week, missed cut at the Bermuda, 33rd and a 54th. So people might think he's just kind of boring right now. Played very well at this golf course. So I wouldn't mind taking a chance on Nick Taylor. But there's a ton of other ones. If you really, really want to know, hit me up. But it's a fun range to get contrarian, that's for sure. All right, 6K range. Who are you looking at?
I got two. Grayson Sigg, three straight made cuts at this event, coming off a missed cut his last time out to RSM. And Ben Silverman, he finished 18th here last year. And three straight made cuts for him on tour, including a fourth place finish.
Sig rates 7th in my model, so I'm on board with you there. Very good at racking up the points, 3rd in good drives, so I don't mind that. Pat Gonzaga, if it gets windy, loves the wind.
He's past 26. Champion.
Yeah, past jamming, 20th in my model. CT Pan, 19th in my model. He's 8th in fairways gained, very good on the short par fours and just a good iron player in general. So CT Pan at 69. And if we want to go deep, I'm going to go with David Lipsky at $6,600. Coming in this week, Lipsky, he's gone missed cut, 4th missed cut at this event. So GPP, that sounds fun. And the other part I wanted to mention, though, is he finished 9th at Bermuda, 6th at the WWT, 41st at Shriner. So finished the fall swing very strong as well. So a couple of guys to take some darts on down there. All right, recapping things, Jesse. You already got Hideki up top. Let's go 9K yep. range. Who's your top 9K guy?
I'm going to say Mav McNeely.
I like that. Well, the more we talked about him, it was very, very good. I'll go Russell Henley to be different. I like that Mav a lot at 9,200. 8K range.
I'll say Harry Hall.
That is a good one. I'm going to go with Luke Clanton's first in my model. everyone's giving out Luke Clanton. So you said Hall. I'll take Ben Griffin. I like Ben Griffin quite a bit. 75 to 79.
I'll say Harris English.
Yeah, it's a good one right there. I'm gonna go with Berger. Give me some Daniel Berger. 7K to 74.
I'm gonna say Svensson.
Yeah, this range is packed. I'll go with the Michael Kim train. Let's go.
There's a lot for you to pick from there.
There's a ton. That's why I felt bad, but I'm like, there's like 40 players in this range. So it's not even like I'm naming that many off in theory. 6K range.
Sig.
Yeah, Sig's pretty darn awesome. I'll go with CT Pan, but I like Sig would be my favorite as well. Lots of other players not mentioned here if you want to play tournaments and get weird, but we'll stick to that for now. Cash games, Jesse, if you're starting out cash this week, it is a cut event, so who did you start with?
Yeah, probably like it's tough without going through and like looking. Yeah, I mean probably like Ben Griffin, Mav McNeely, and Ekrope.
That's fair. I was gonna say like Harris English. Okay, Harris English, Ben Griffin, and I like a Mav McNeely probably. If you wanted, might as well throw Luke Clanton in there because Cash, you want to play chalk, so knock yourself out. Okay. Tournaments, where are you starting out?
I'll say Keegan, Harry Hall, and Dietrich.
I like that. I'm going to go Brian Harman. I don't think Vinny are going to play him, but does like this golf course. So give me Harman, Berger, and I'm going to have to play Mav. So I'll just say Mav. All right. Who do you got winning this week? Should be a wild one.
Yeah. I mean, Keegan at 25 is not terrible. I mean, Hideki's at 9-1, which is just fucking insane, but whatever. I'll bitch about it every week. Just keep bitching about it. Obviously, if you didn't want to like play Luke Clanton, then you could bet him. 40-1's not awful, even though he's never won. So I don't know why he would be 40-1, but some kind of longer shots like Cam Davis at 60, Dietrich at 65. Yeah, Nico Echeverria. That's where I got Nacho from. But he's at 80. So if you wanted to throw a few dollars down there,
a couple top 20s I like. Harris English at plus 210, Dietrich at plus 230 isn't bad. I think if you want a couple, there's like a Lucas Glover at plus 260. Is interesting as well. And there's some deeper ones if you really want to get feisty down. Like if you believe Nick Taylor loves this golf course, he's plus 320 to top 10, and he's their top 20. He's pretty much done that his last three go arounds here, so he'd be an interesting one as well.
To top 20, 320.
Top 20 is plus 320, and yeah. He's finished seventh. And when was the other one I gave out? Like he's finished lights out when he plays well here. So
sure has. Yeah.
That's got some interest to me there.
I'm with you.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Jesse, any final thoughts before we head back to the west, the west coast of the contingent United States?
I don't. Good luck.
Yeah, get ready for us to complain next week, folks. Three golf courses. It's going to get rough here pretty quick.
But yeah.
Until then, enjoy the late night golf, primetime golf over there in Hawaii. And you can follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf. Cause the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at Petey Entrick. And for now, this is your 2025 Sony Open Preview. Catch you on next time.